Glory. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're here?
Yeah.
Oh, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad the Lord's here. Hey, God is on the scene. Amen. He's up to something. Oh, I feel His presence. Don't you? I feel an anticipation in the Spirit. I feel an excitement. I appreciate the worship songs that God has set us in the perfect place to be able to leave this place empowered with a vision, with a newfound confidence in Him, and just comforted by His Spirit. Amen? Oh, glory. Now, there's two questions I want to put out to you, and I want you to think about these two questions as we get into the Word of God tonight. And I'm going to be preaching to myself, okay? And so you just say, thank God that preacher's getting some help. Amen? Because I'm going to get some help tonight. I'm going to see some things I've never saw before, and I'm going to walk into freedom I've never had before. Amen? That's what this worship service is about. You see, as you worship God, that's the way that you receive God. And the deeper that you worship Him, the deeper in a place in Him that you and I can come. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory. All right, open up your Bibles, if you would, with me to lay a foundation in John chapter 13. John chapter 13. We'll pick it up in verse number 13. And I want to use this for foundation. Now, here's the words the Lord said. He said that when you accept me as master, then you can master everything.
Glory.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
But He said, for those who don't know that message, they, instead of accepting me as master, they will become mastered.
Yeah.
But you and I tonight, we're accepting Him as master. Amen. And so He's overcome all things. That's what we were worshiping about. And because He's overcome, we're overcomers. Amen. You see what God's up to?
Yes.
Corey and I, we never talk about the service. So, I mean, this excites us so much. Amen. Because of the Spirit of God. All right. John 13:13. You there? So, all right. Verse 13 says, this is red letter, Jesus has just got through washing the disciples' feet. You know the story, before the Last Supper. But He says, you call me. Now, mark this down in your Bible. Highlight it in your hearts, on the table of your heart. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. Now, mark that down. Jesus said, I am Master. I am Lord. And He said, you've called me that. You've named me that. And that's up to each one of us. We've got to make that decision. He said, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, an exhibit for imitation, a pattern to follow. I've given you a pattern to follow that you should do as I have done to you. Now notice that you should do as I have done to you. Verse 16, verily, verily, truly, truly, a legal term, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Brother Donnie, would you pray? Yes. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you so much for honoring the Word. Hallelujah. So the two questions that I wanted to apply to you tonight that the Spirit of God applied to me was, which birth, you'll understand it as we get through this message, which birth are you looking at? Which birth are you looking at? And are you a race runner? And those two questions determine whether you are going to be mastered or whether you're going to be of the Master and thus master everything. Amen? So hold that in your heart, and we'll break this down. Now, first of all, Jesus here taking on the role of a servant, doing the most humble task of a servant in washing their feet. But He tells Peter, because Peter didn't understand, but I love how Peter, as presumptuous as he is, he always gets the truth out. Amen. So he understood that Jesus said that when you walk through this earth, that even though you've been washed, you've been born again, in other words, you've been born of the Spirit, as you walk through this earth, you're going to step in some things. Every one of us is going to sin. It's not a license to sin, but by the grace of God, we're coming up out of sin. But He's made a way, because the Bible says in 1 John 2:1 that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the Christ. He's our advocate. And so He's telling that to believers. So believers, they're going to step in some things. You're going to make some mistakes. I'm going to make some mistakes. But along the way, we have the assurance, because Christ was humble and become a servant, a bond servant, that the feet can be cleansed. And He said, as I have done that to you, you ought to do that to others. Now, that word ought is a Greek word that means you are under obligation. In other words, you owe that debt. Now, so you and I know that only the blood of Jesus takes away sin, but there is a washing of the water of the Word. Amen. Ephesians 5 tells us that. And so you and I are under obligation, that as Jesus has washed us by the Word, not only His blood, thank God for the blood, but the washing of the Word in daily life, that we're to help each other. We're to share the truths that God shares with us, and allow that water of the Word to wash people and to help them and encourage them. And so tonight, the Lord wants to help all of us, but He wants to help me to see three things tonight. Now I want you to take these three things home with you that we're going to get out of the Word of God. First of all, you and I, we can have self-control. Uh-huh. Glory. Self-control. Now there's a lot of people that don't understand, because the devil has lied to them and made them in a place where they're always going to feel defeated. And it's your job, it's my job, to wash their feet and help encourage them, to show them that they don't have to do everything that they feel. They don't have to say everything they want to say that comes across the very buds of their mind, that they have some promises in the Word of God. I need to know that because Jesus, as we were worshiping tonight, overcame, I can overcome. Amen?
Amen.
And so I can have self-control. But when that is beyond my ability, the Holy Ghost gives me spirit control.
Amen.
He gives every blood-bought believer spirit control. Control. And then at the same time, then, as He gives us spirit control, Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit is come, that He would lead us and guide us into all truth, right? John 14. Well, that truth, it brings what I heard in the Spirit, I've never heard before, sandwich control. Sandwich control. And we're going to look at, as we close, we're going to look at that, and I think it'll excite you in your spirit, because it's excited me. Amen? But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And let's see about this self-control and answer some questions in our life that empower the victory that we have. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse number 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receive the prize? So run that you may obtain." So you and I, we're running this Christian race. Amen? We're running it. And because we're running it, Paul here, being in Corinth, he's at the place at the origin of the Olympic Games. And so he's talking about the athletes and all of this. He has a picture of them running for that wreath that's made out of organic material, that one day is going to look pretty and the next day it's going to... But you and I, we're running for an incorruptible crown. Amen. We're running for something that's eternal and lasting. And so he said if they're going to win that wreath, they've got to run. But you and I, we've got to recognize and realize in this Christian race, to be able to receive all the promises of God, we've got things around us. We've got avenues that the enemy in the world would want to do to stop us. But all you've got to do is make up your mind, and you have, that you're running. And because you're running, then... look at the next verse. It brings a promise into your life that empowers you. See, knowledge is power. Because remember what God said in Hosea 4:6. He said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." So you have knowledge that's going to cause you to overcome. Amen? Have victory. All right, look what He said in the next verse, verse 25. "And every man, every person that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they which do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Now notice this. Every person that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. That word temperate, it means to have self-control. It means to exercise discipline. So, when you decided, when the Spirit of God knocked on your heart, and you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you made a commitment. And that was the greatest commitment that you would ever make. And so you got in this Christian race. So in this Christian race, as you're running this race, you have a promise that in the natural, as people are doing things that is temporal, things that's not going to last, they put everything they got into it, but that's all they're going to have. But you're doing it for an incorruptible crown, but because you've made that choice and that decision, the Word of God said that you can be temperate. You can have self-control, not in some things, but in all things. See, the devil comes and he shows us things and he says, oh, you just can't help it. Now, he may not do you that way, but he does me that way. It's okay. Go ahead and say it. Go ahead and do it. You deserve it. Now, he may not talk to you, but he does me. And before I know it, if I start listening and leaning that way, I start getting more and more carnal. And that starts gaining victory and power in my life. But when I come back to the Word of God and I see what Paul here, the apostle of this great grace, that he made that statement that when I recognize that I'm in this race, that the Bible says I can be temperate, I can exercise dominion, I can exercise self-control, not in some things, but in all things. So when the devil comes and he brings that, I go, no you don't, devil. Here's what thus saith the Lord. Yeah. See, you and I, we do what Jesus did. It is written. It is written. And all of a sudden, that word that you're speaking, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, that faith starts coming up inside of you. And as that faith rises, fear of the unknown and all the things that fear brings, all the other attributes, all of a sudden it's under the feet, right. Under your feet. Right. Glory. And so you have this assurance. Now notice, he said that as you run this race, that you're going to strive. Look what he said again in the first part of verse 25. And every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that striveth for mastery. In other words, you're looking to overcome things. And because you're looking to the master. You're going to be mastered by the master. And so you're not going to be overcome by anything. But as you're looking to him, you recognize and realize that yes, you've got a role to play. You've got to believe God. I've got to believe God. See, I don't know about you, but sometimes I have to, when the Spirit of God shows me some things, I have to laugh at myself. Because I am my world's own worst enemy. I really am. And I know that sometimes the Lord just smiles and shakes his head at me and says, that poor boy. I just know that he does. But because, that trouble comes and I get to whine into God and all of these things. And, you know, and he said, I told you that you have to overcome. Yes. Overcome means he done it by the blood. Yes. And I'm depending on that blood, but overcome means I've got to take him at his word. The Bible says for me to submit myself unto God, right? And then resist the devil. So I've got to see that there's going to be a time that I submit to God, but then I've got to stand on who I've submitted to, on the Lord. I've got to stand on Jesus Christ, and I've got to resist what I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, what I'm seeing, because you know that the devil is playing a chess game in life, and he's trying to orchestrate some things in your life and in my life, and he'll send some people that'll have a word that will confirm what he's trying to create in you. Come on, he imitates God in the negative. And so he'll set up situations where you go, oh my, that must be real. That must be right. Because see, if I come in agreement with him, I'm giving him a legal right to do some things. So I'm not going to be mastered by anything. I'm going to see that I've got to strive. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 13 and let's see what this word strive really means. In Luke chapter 13, Jesus is doing some teaching here. And look what he says. he brings a teaching that gets the disciples' attention so much. He says in verse 23, Luke 13:23, and then said unto him, the disciples, after they heard this teaching, they said, Lord, are they few that be saved? Now, you know, that tells you how hard that this message that he was teaching them hit their heart. And look what he said. And he said unto them, I love how Jesus handles situations. Verse 24, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Notice that. Mark that down in your Bible. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and they shall not be able to. Now that word strive, it means to struggle. It means to contend with an adversary. Who is our adversary? So, yes, thank God that Jesus won the war, but you and I, we're going to battle. We're going to battle, and we're going to have to meet him. And as you and I get closer to the will of God, as you and I start yielding more to God, and we start seeing God be able to use us in this community, I am seeing more struggles. Are you seeing more struggles? But that's okay. That doesn't discourage us. That just confirms that you and I, that we're becoming something that God can use, and the devil don't like it. And so he's going to bring things against you and I, but you and I are not going to be mastered by anything because we're under the master. Amen? That's who we're serving. That's who we're following. And so tonight I want you to be so encouraged that if you are coming against some things, if the devil is attacking you in different ways, then know that you're going into the straight gate. Come on, the straight gate is the gate of Jesus Christ. And that's the gate that when you go through there, all of the... Can I be honest with you? I've been saved and on my way to heaven for a long time, but I did not realize how much baggage I had. I'm sure everybody around me did. But I didn't. Not in the fullness of what's happening in my life. And the more as I strive and the more as I struggle to enter into the will of God and the plan of God, all of a sudden, one of that pops off my shoulder, you know, and I get a little farther in. And all of a sudden, it pops off the other shoulder, and I get a little farther in the will and the plan of God. And this part that gets in a little deeper, I have more liberty and more freedom, where the rest of me that's on the outside of it, it's screaming and hollering. I don't know if your body, mind, will, and emotions scream and holler, but mine does. And it causes me a lot of discomfort. But I've got to be in the place and the position. So you're not going to master me, because I am under the master. I'm running for the prize. I'm running this race, and I'm in the place. I'm in the position where I'm going to enter into these promises. And I'm going to be used by God to wash other people's feet. Amen. You're going to bring the truth to them, because look what he says in the next verse, so we can just hold the seriousness of what we're talking about tonight. Look at verse 25. Jesus says, when once the master of the house is risen up and hath what? Shut the door. And ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. And we could go on, but we won't. But the point is, you and I, we've got to see the reason why the devil's coming against the church of the living God so strong is because you're the difference between somebody making heaven or not. You're the difference of them being able to see the door, being able to have their feet washed, being able to be in the place where they can walk closer to Jesus than they ever walked before. Amen? Because this door of grace, this time that you and I know, this door is closing. It's closing rapidly. And we can look at the signs, and we can see the sign of deception increasing, and we can see the work of the Antichrist. And he is going to be revealed in many different ways. But you and I, we've got to be ready to go where the Lord would have us to go, and we've got to be ready in a moment to be able to fulfill all the will and the plan of God. Amen? And so here you are tonight. You're in a place where you're seeing the Lord encourage us. You're seeing the Lord help us. I'm going to be helped tonight. Amen. I'm going to leave here different. And I don't know if you need what I need, but I need this word tonight. I need it desperately. Because there's a lot of things happening in my life. There's a lot of things happening that is trying to stop what God wants us to do in this community. But when God starts something, He said He's faithful to finish it.
Amen.
So it's going to happen. Amen. It's going to come to pass. All right. So here we are. We see that you and I have the promise that we can be in the place of self-control. But when the devil comes against you, when the flesh rises up, when fear starts to invade your life, and when situations that you're dealing with, you don't seem like you're getting the answer. How many's prayed the prayer of faith? Come on. And it sometimes we don't see what we've prayed yet. We don't understand. Well, that's when we got to stand still and see the salvation, amen, that we read there in Exodus. We got to see what God's wanting to do. But I want you to be encouraged. Go with me to the book of Galatians. You know these verses very well. The Lord laid this on my heart the other night. We was having an altar service, and there was a person asked for prayer about a situation. Went to pray and almost prayed wrong, and the Holy Ghost corrected me and give the person this verse. They did not more no more hear the Lord than anything in the world, and they left here worse than when they come. Not judging them, I've done the same thing. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse, of course you got the work of the flesh in verses 17 through 21, but look at verse 22 and 23. You there? Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is the Holy Spirit in your spirit. See, when you got born again, you got born of the Spirit, and your spirit become alive unto God, and the incorruptible Word, Jesus Christ, took manifest in your spirit. You are the temple of the Lord. You are the vessel that God is abiding in. Amen? And so you have assurance here that this fruit is in your life. You don't have to pray for it. You don't have to work for it. You've just got to see that because the Holy Spirit is in your spirit, this is who you are now. Amen. Not the works of the flesh. See, you got 9 fruit of the Spirit. The 9 fruit of the Spirit, they conquer the 18 works of the flesh. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
All right. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Notice this, verse 23, meekness, temperance. Temperance is the 9 fruit of the Spirit, the 9th fruit. Against such there is no law. So temperance is self-control. Self-control. So you have self-control by yourself, but if there's a situation, a circumstance that is greater than where your faith is, greater than where your understanding is, where my faith is, my understanding is, praise God for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because the fruit is that He said that because He abides in me, I can reach and I can pluck off the promises of God, and I can say, Lord, I need your self-control in this situation. Now, sometimes I get angry. And when I get angry, I have a tendency to rattle off things that I shouldn't. I have a tendency to get negative after that. And so whatever our tendency is, whatever our weakness is, and we're going to be teaching more on this in the coming on Wednesday nights. You know, see, there's sin, there's trespass or transgression, and there's iniquity. And iniquity has to do with not just your life, but our bloodline. And so, whatever, if you've noticed in your life, certain things that you deal with that is iniquity, which iniquity simply means it's a tendency to lean a certain way. It's a weakness to go a certain way, and it's something that no matter how hard you try, you have sooner or later it seems like you fall into that, you step into that, and so you can't do that by self-control, but you can do that by spirit control. You can have the victory. You can get the victory over it, and you can come and get that broke off your life. And you can look at David. David was a man that the Bible says he was after God's own heart. But do you realize that Bathsheba wasn't his only problem? And you look at the sexual sin in his family. You look how it was passed on down to Solomon and what it cost Solomon. Come on, that's iniquity. And that's things that reason why we're studying what we're studying on Wednesday night. And you and I are going to get some victory over some things. We're going to get some freedom over some things because we're going to get that. See, in iniquity, there's a evil spirit that's behind it. So we have to have the Holy Spirit to get the victory. Amen? Okay. All right. So notice what he said one more time. But the fruit. So he lists all those 18 works of the flesh. And all of a sudden then he says, but the fruit. That should encourage us so much because he just says, but the fruit. What you've already got is greater than what you had. That's an encouragement to us, amen? So you and I can be in the place and the position where whatever your weakness is, I've got some situations where I get into fear and I get into doubt and then there's the anger. I say, Lord, right now I'm trying to exercise my self-control. But I recognize and realize that this particular situation, I'm running the race. And I know that you've given me the self-control, but you also said that when I come to my limitations, I can come to the unlimited God. And when I come to the unlimited God, there's the Holy Spirit. There's the Spirit of God that will work the temperance, that will work the self-control in me. See, my greatest victory, my greatest strength is when I just be honest with God and I say, God, this is the way I feel. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to say. You're going to have to help me. That's not a bad testimony. That's not a bad confession. That is drawing by faith on the reality that you're telling God, God, it's all about you or I'm going to fail. Right. Hallelujah. That's our greatest source of victory. That's our greatest source of strength. So I want us to start operating in that. When you can't get over something, when you can't get past something, you just say, Lord, I'm depending right now. I'm trusting in you. So that took us back to that other question that I asked you. Which birth are you looking at? Which birth? Because see, I've got to make sure where I'm looking. Go with me to John chapter 3. I think it's verse 6. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And look at verse number 6. He makes this statement to him. After talking about being born of the water and born of the Spirit. And look what he says in verse number 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He said in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee that you must be born again. So when you got born again, you got born, as we've been talking about, of the Holy Ghost. Right. All right? So which birth am I looking at? See, he said, but the fruit. If I'm looking to the Spirit and not looking to the flesh, and I'm looking at the second birth, the birth that's from above, the birth that's eternal, I'm in the place of victory. I'm in the place of assurance that I can, that you can overcome. Yes. Amen? So anything that looks in your life, anything that looks in my life, looks like that I don't have the victory, looks like that I can't overcome it, looks like that God has forgotten me or left me, it looks like that it's hopeless, I've got to see that I'm looking at that through a work of the flesh. Because the flesh cannot save me. The flesh cannot help me. I've got to come back and I've got to look to the Spirit of God inside of my spirit. And I've got to say, I've been born again. Come on, you've been born again, amen? And so I'm going to look and I'm going to say, okay, that's born of the flesh. That's going back to the earth. This is born of the Spirit. It's eternal. It's of God. God has a plan in my life and I'm going to succeed. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to walk in places I've never walked before. Isn't that encouraging? Now, as you and I think about these verses and we think about this power, go with me to Romans chapter 8. I know you know these verses, but I love them. Romans chapter 8 is the power of walking in the Spirit, because if you notice in chapter 7, Paul makes that statement. He said, I do what I don't want to do, and what I want to do, I don't do. But all of a sudden, then when he finds the Holy Spirit in his life, he makes that statement. Let's go ahead and read verse 1. Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now, come on, right now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk, who live, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we got to figure out what we're looking at. We're looking at the birth of the Spirit, not the birth of the flesh. And look what that brings into our life. Drop down to verse 13, Romans 8:13. For if you live after the flesh, which birth are you looking at? Which birth am I looking at? For you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, think about that just for a second. Once again, we've got self-control, we've got spirit control. And they're working in our life. And so, I've got my part, God's got His part. But where I'm weak, He's strong. And where I'm struggling, He's done overcame. And I have the promise that He is my high priest, and He's touched with every one of my weaknesses, every one of my feelings. He sees it. He understands it. He's done been there. He's done conquered it. And so all of a sudden, then He, through the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit, He gives me this word that I can look at the right birth, I can look at my spiritual birth, and I can mortify that feeling. I can mortify that situation. In other words, that word mortify means to make dead. Remember, the Bible says for us to reckon ourselves dead unto the flesh, but alive unto God. And so here, I just tell myself, when this carnal nature starts rising up. Now y'all, I'm not talking to y'all, I'm talking to me. I've got a lot of things that pulls on me. I just, in all honesty, the sin that I liked before I got saved, my body still likes it. I'm sorry. That anybody tell you any different? They're at a place that I haven't got to yet. But at the same time, I see that I can mortify that. In other words, when it tries to come up and rear its ugly head, I say, no, in the name of Jesus, you're dead. I reckon you dead because that's what God told me to do. And so you're dead and you can't touch me. I'm alive unto God. If I live unto myself, I die. But if I die unto myself, I'm alive unto God. Amen. And I'm going to live forever. So look what he said then. He made this promise. Verse 14. For as many as are led, come on, think about it, led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, the daughters, the children of God. So now we look at that and go, the devil says, yeah, but you're not led. I'm in Christ Jesus. That's why we read verse 1. So I'm being led by the Spirit of God. You're being led by the Spirit of God. And so we look at it on the negative side. Well, I'm a child of God because I listen to God right now. No, you're a child of God because you believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth. Amen. And so because of that, you have the reality, you have the understanding of this verse that you can walk in the Spirit. Now think about it. God is telling you and I, by the Apostle Paul, by the unction of the Spirit of God, that you have got a personal guide in everyday life. It doesn't matter if it's in your marriage. It doesn't matter if it's in your job. It doesn't matter if it's in your community. It doesn't matter where you're at or what you're doing. You have the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you in everything that you do and everything that you say. I need to know that because I don't know about you. I know how weak I am. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. I am weak. And there's a lot of things that I don't know. And there's a lot of things that I need to do. And I just tell God, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to accomplish this, but I want you to lead me in it. He makes everything about life better. So you are a child of God. So you have the assurance to say, I thank you that... Let's read a verse. John 16, I believe it's about verse 13. John 16:13. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said, howbeit, when He, talking about the Holy Spirit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, has He come? He come on the day of Pentecost, but he come in your life and my life when we got born again, right? When he is come, he might, he will. It's his will for you to what? To walk in truth. He will guide you, he will guide me into some truth. Glory. All truth. You mean he can help me understand everything about my life? Come on now. There's some things I don't understand. Sometimes me and Donna fuss about some things because I don't understand her and she don't understand me. But he can help us to understand each other. Sometimes you talk to somebody and you're sharing their heart with you. And because you haven't been there, you can't understand what they're saying. But you say, Lord, I know you've been right where they've been. Guide me in that truth because I want to help them. We can't do it, but he does it through us. Amen. That's that bait, Brother Donnie, that you gave out this morning. Amen. All right. He said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So you and I, we've got to believe that this Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us, and he's helping us to be self-controlled, he's helping us to be spirit-controlled, but he's helping us to have sandwich control. Now, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 in closing. 2 Peter chapter 1. See, the Word of God is about truth. And it's about truth is something that you and I have to eat. But we get victory when we sandwich some things into the Word of God. Amen? All right, 2 Peter, he tells us, can we take time and just start from the first verse? 2 Peter 1 and 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith, say that's me, with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So if you want more grace, if you want more peace, then here's how your avenue, the channel of receiving it. According as his divine power hath given, past tense, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the channel, the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now stay with me. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Now mark knowledge down. Look at verse number 6. This is why we came here. And to knowledge, temperance. To knowledge, self-control. And to temperance, self-control, patience. Patience. So as I was praying and meditating on this, the Lord, he showed some areas that I need his help in. And he said, "What the way that you get victory in those areas, I take and I put that weak area, I put that struggle, I put that hardship, that temptation, that trial, I put it under the label that Jesus gave me self-control. He gave me temperance. And then I sandwich it with the reality here, what he said of knowledge. And what did he say? Patience. So knowledge and patience make your bread. In other words, you put the self-control, you put it under knowledge. What's the knowledge? The knowledge is that Jesus Christ is the victor. He lives on the throne of your heart. And as we were singing tonight, as Corey was singing that song that was quoting from Revelation 12:11, we are overcomers. Amen? That's the knowledge. But the other side of the sandwich bread is the patience. You've got to have patience to be an overcomer. I've got to have patience. That word patience is a Greek word that means cheerful endurance. Now, can we understand that just a little bit? The quicker that we get full of joy about a situation while we're enduring, the quicker we won't have to go through it no more. The quicker that you and I get into a place where we have the knowledge that we can overcome, but that knowledge, we're patient in the reality that whether we're overcoming or not, that we know that we are overcomers, and we know that even though we're going through it, we're going to cheerfully endure it, the quicker that we will not have to go through it again. See, I've went through so many things so many times that you'd think I'd wear God out. Thank God you can't. But see, this is how you overcome. This is how you have self-control and spirit control. It's sometimes is, remember, the Holy Spirit brings whatever He hears to your life. That's the knowledge. And the knowledge is what empowers you, empowers me to be able to have patience. Okay, Romans 5. I told you that was the last verse, but we got to read this. Romans 5. Verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and we rejoice in the hope of glory. Now stay with me. Verse 3. And not only so, but we glory, we rejoice in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, cheerful endurance. So if I want to stop, see, I spent years beating my head against the wall going through certain things because I didn't know this truth. But all I have to see is that the thing that I'm going through is part of that striving to enter into the straight gate. It's part of those things that the devil means for harm that the Lord God Almighty, the good God, the good Father, is doing for my good. He wants me to trust Him, and He wants me to be pruned and purged by His Word. Jesus said that in John 15, as He gave the parable there, but down about verse number 3, now you are clean, you are purged, you are pruned by the Word of God. And so when we go through things and we hold on to the Word of God and we cheerfully endure, we make this sandwich, we put the knowledge that, yes, I'm going to overcome, and we put the thing that we're trying to overcome in as the meat, and then we put the very patience in that God's going to work it in His time. That's our victory. That's our victory. See, you take the ammunition away from the devil. Because, see, sometimes I've got mad at God. Why haven't you done it? You said you'd do it. See, that's because I didn't understand. So if I didn't understand, that means I needed knowledge. So all I had to do was come back to Him and say, God, tell me the truth here. I've got to make this sandwich. I've got to get this thing under control where I can cheerfully endure. See, Don and I are standing on some promises about some individuals. We know what God says, and they're out here 100 degrees away from what God says. And still praying the prayer of faith, believing God, rejoicing, thanking God, and the more that we do it, it seems like the worse things get. Understand? And we could lose control of that situation by saying, ah, forget it. Or we can do what God said. We can have knowledge. And we can take the self-control and put that under that. And say, Lord, I'm patiently, I'm cheerfully enduring. I know that You waited on me. And so as You have waited on me, I'm going to wait because I'm not waiting on You, Lord. I'm waiting on them to receive You. That's it. The love of God that never fails. Amen. So we're not going to be mastered by anything. Amen. We're going to leave here in a place and a position where we recognize that Jesus truly is the master of all. And because of that, you and I are going to have more freedom and more liberty in our life than we've ever had. I challenge you, don't let the devil, what he shows you, change the channel. Don't stay there, amen? Recognize it for what it is and turn that channel to get back quickly. Because, see, when I get to looking at what the devil shows me, I lose my patience. I lose my cheerful endurance. And I'm tired of doing some things over and over, amen? I want to close with this thought. When Abraham Lincoln was running for president, they were talking to him about Douglas and Frederickson, or I believe it was Frederickson, whoever it was, the other candidate. And he said, well, I'm not worried about Douglas, you know, because he can't ever get the support of the South. And Frederickson, I believe is who it was, whoever it was, he can't get the support of the North. I'm not worried about these two men at all. And they said, you're really not worried about these two men in your future? And he said, no. He said, there's one man that I'm worried about in my future, and that man is named Lincoln. Jesus has made you the captain of your own ship. We're under him, but he has empowered you, and you and I can go just as far in him as we want to go. So don't fear anybody else. Just know that when you submit to the Master, you can master all things. And you're in a place, in a position of great victory. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. We thank you for your love. Father, I ask right now that you just move across this congregation. Bring encouragement. I know that there's some situation in our lives where we're getting weary. We're getting tired. And Lord, I ask that you would help us to apply these principles where we can be refreshed, spirit, soul, and body. And we can step up in a place in you that we've never been before. Just as you led us to worship before, help us to leave here with a worship lifestyle, understanding that we do have the ability to control our destiny by your word, Jesus, by your spirit that reveals Jesus. He rehearses before our very eyes your will, Father. Help every person starting here with me, help us to see that in clarity. Help us to grab a hold of it and apply it and leave here, Lord, with your light shining brighter, with freedom being more real than it ever has before. Touch and draw right now. Anything that would be a hindrance, anything that would try to hold back, we bind it in Jesus' name. And we thank you that we have liberty in you. Would you come tonight, make yourself an altar and say, Lord, here I am. I want to apply this. I want to walk in a new place of freedom and liberty. I want to see that because of you that I do have the ability to overcome, and that I don't have to think the way I used to think. I don't have to talk the way I used to talk. I don't have to go around the mountain again in that situation, but I can come to a new place in you. It's yours tonight. It's mine tonight. Amen. All we have to do is just believe what God has said. This is what the Spirit is saying to the church tonight. And this is empowerment to you. Don't settle. Don't settle for the struggle again. Amen. Don't settle. Don't let the devil convince you that it's going to be the same way tomorrow that it has been. Because you see, as we think in our heart, so are we. And so let's don't accept that. Let's let the Holy Spirit bring a vision of what he has that would change your situation tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you come?